What's going on, everyone? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scars, Icarus FC, For the Culture, and of course, the Beautiful Game Network. On today's episode, we were supposed to have the Henny Derby, and we were going to get some before-the-game footage and whatnot for you guys to enjoy, but unfortunately, we can't do that. So we decided to reach out to our friends personally and get their views and opinions on the Richmond Kickers, what made them fans, how did they start loving the games, things of that nature. So we have six prominent members, past and former and present. So sit back, enjoy, and wash your hands. Joining us on the phone today is one of the coolest members in the River City Red Army. His name is Mr. John Osborne. How are you doing, man?
Doing good, guys. Drinking a White Claw, looking at all these smoke bombs I bought, ready to use them.
I can definitely understand that, you know. It's weird because this week it was supposed to be the Henny Derby, and now I'm just like, I have nothing to do on a Saturday.
Nothing going on at all sports-wise. I've been watching Marvel racing on ESPN Ocho.
Getting
excited about it.
I heard they brought back the Ocho, but I wasn't really sure if that was a real thing or not. But it's good to see that it's there.
No, dude, it's good. It's good. It's like cornhole tournaments and Marvel racing. And, yeah, it's fun stuff.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Well, let's go ahead and hop into the interview. One of the first questions I wanted to ask you was, how did you fall in love with soccer, and like, what made you start following the Kickers?
I grew up in like Southern Virginia, and you either play baseball, football, or this new thing called soccer. And I was a little kid, tiny, fast, and didn't want to get hit. And baseball was very boring to me, so got into soccer, playing soccer, played rec. Formed a small travel league down in Southern Virginia to come up to Richmond and play a couple of tournaments here and there. Started the, went to a small private school in Southern Virginia, started the high school soccer team there, and just so I could play. And that's how I got into it. And like the first World Cup that I really got to see, because we had three channels in the boonies. So it was the, the 92? 92 or 94 World Cup?
Yeah, I think 94, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, did a book report on Pele and beautiful game, all that jazz, and then just never looked back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine John playing football and whatnot. That would have been hilarious.
No, like, I was a kicker for a little bit, but that wasn't fun. I just kicked the ball and run off the field. That wasn't the most fun.
Oh, my God.
No, it was that, and then I played at Bridgewater College for a year and realized that I was not a great soccer player. I was a good soccer player for Southern Virginia, but I was not a good soccer player anywhere else in the world.
Not too bad. Okay.
All good.
Well, my next question is, like, what made you start liking the Kickers and becoming, like, a real big part of the Kickers fan base and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, what, Kickers 93? So, I mean, we came to two or three games a year. Just from Southern Virginia, you like soccer, you had somebody local that you could go see, and it was just soccer. So we would go up there and we'd actually go with our team, sit up in the back, have a hot dog, and watch some good soccer and actually see what good soccer was like. So I've been going to Kickers games, maybe not 93, but like 94, 95 for sure. Oh. And then went to college and moved back. Went to one Kickers game in the summer, saw the little Kickers guys there in the corners, the corner kicks. It was like they were having a good time, and then got into the American Outlaws, DC, the DC United guys, and they're like, you know, they serve beer now. I was like, okay, I guess we're gonna go do that Red Army thing.
I feel like that was like the changing point for a lot of people when the kicker started serving beer. It was like, oh yeah, I'll go back.
I mean, it was always good soccer, and it was always a good place to go catch a game. You know, beautiful venue, awesome summer nights. Just when they serve beer, it's a little bit of a different story.
Okay. So, I gotta ask, like, how did you get involved with being, like, the smoke guy and all that stuff?
How did we get into it? I think I brought it up. I mean, it was, you know, kind of me, Rich, and kind of like the American Outlaw crowd and the DC United guys, we all kind of got together. And it just kind of formed into this little, like, hey, if you have a good idea, come up with something. But if you come up with the idea, you have to write it down. And I saw smoke in a couple games, thought it was really cool. Did the research on who had the best smoke, asked the kickers if we could do it, and they said, as long as you don't hurt anybody, go for it. And it stuck, so.
Wow.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, you've had some memorable games where you popped the smoke. I think when I got engaged, there was purple smoke. And then, of course, for Pride Night, it was the rainbow smoke. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, Pride Night was fine. I'm going to steal your next question. It was like, what was your most memorable kickers thing?
Yeah.
And you and I share a very special moment.
We do.
you proposed, and I was in the hospital with Cameron being born.
Yes.
And we finally got back to the room, and we got to watch you propose, purple smoke, rock and roll, we won, everybody's in the hospital, everybody's healthy and safe, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, the EPL games are fun, all those, you know, fun big games are fun, but to me, that's not what the kickers are about, like that whole community thing.
Yeah. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. That was like, that's a really like cool moment to me and you share. Like, even when I see your daughter, I'll run up to her and be like, you know, we share a special day, right?
Yep. Yep.
So that
awesome.
Is.
It was awesome.
So one of the other things I ask you is like, I ask everyone this: who's on your Mount Rushmore for soccer all time? You can put a kicker's play on there. You don't have to be. It could be who's on your Mount Rushmore.
All right, y'all are going to crush me on this.
Oh, my God.
Everybody out there is going to hate this. I put people on my Mount Rushmore, the people that got me into soccer, or the people that I saw and was like, yep, that's what soccer is. Pele was the first one. Did a book report on him, beautiful game, you know, best in the world. Brian McBride was another one. Because I saw him in that World Cup, bust his nose up. That's how you're supposed to play.
Okay.
DC guy, Javi Moreno, because he actually got into the fans with the fans when he was hurt. And I was like, yep, that's if we get anybody to come in the Red Army to do that, he would be my favorite player ever. and then you're really going to hate this because it's a goalkeeper, but Timmy Howard. Timmy Howard was one of my favorite national team guys, and American Outlaw, like, I'm a USA boy.
Oh, no, that's not a bad Mount Rushmore. That's actually, like, pretty decent. It's not bad.
It's kind of bad, and I'm getting questioned later. Yeah, I got it.
No, I thought you was trying to throw on someone that we've never heard of. I'd be like, I don't know about that one. But, no, I mean.
Yeah, no, like if you say, like, who would you want to go play with, like, who, you know, like, who put soccer on the map for you? It's those guys.
Mm.
I mean, you can say Maradona, you can say all these people, but, you know, that's not real. They're good, yeah, but that's not real.
Okay. Well, John, I thank you for being on the show with us today, man. You've been a great listen, so I thank you so much for being on with us, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Keep it up, man. You guys are rocking and rolling.
Joining me on the phone today is a good friend of the River City Red Army and the Richmond Kickers, is Mr. Mike Gilbert. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
That's good. So, for those who don't know, Mike, you have, like, one particular part in the Red Army, what you stand at. It's always near to, like, the wall, the very bottom. And you're always standing. Like, I know anytime there's a Kickers home game, I expect to see you standing right there.
Absolutely. I've been there for, I don't know, almost 20 years in that spot.
Oh my gosh. So, just like me and Shanae, we always, I look at you as kind of like the historian of the Richmond Kickers. Like, if there was a Richmond Kickers museum, you would probably be the guy owning it and running it.
I used to keep a log of every game. I haven't done that in quite a few years, but I know a lot. I mean, I've been season ticket holder since 1995, So,
let me ask this then. What made you want to start following the Kickers, or, like, what got you into soccer?
My dad was from England, so it's kind of in my blood begin with. And then I started playing when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me up to Washington to see a few NASL games, the original NASL. And I just fell in love.
So when the Kickers, I mean, you said you was a season ticket holder in 95. What made that decision for you to become like, all right, I'm going to buy season tickets to support the Kickers? Was it kind of like an easy thing, or was it like...
No, it was very easy. The first two seasons they played on the campus of U of R, and it wasn't the easiest place to get to, and it wasn't easy to get in and out. And when they moved to City Stadium in 95, that just... You know, that was 10 minutes from my house. It made everything so much easier.
That's weird to imagine the Kickers playing at U of R, but then I have to remember, like, this is the time where they probably didn't even have the proper grounds for a stadium in the city of Richmond at the time. So finding a place to play at just had to be anywhere.
City Stadium back then was old school carpet. I played high school there, actually.
Oh, my God.
I went to TJ. And they didn't want to play on that for obvious reasons. And they had a big U of R connection, I guess, with Lee. Because when teams started, Lee played for U of R and the Kickers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there was just a big connection there. And so they made the decision to play at U of R, which it wasn't a great field. And you had to walk 100 yards to the bathrooms. And it's... I was so happy when they moved to City Stadium.
So, I mean, you've probably been around. You're probably older than some Kickers fans now. Like, can you just talk to us about, like, some of the glory teams? Like, what famous Kickers teams stick out to you? Probably you also seen that we're doing a rewatch of famous Kickers games. So, I'm relying on you to let me know what famous Kickers games we need to go back and revisit.
Oh, man. The teams we had... in the early 2000s. You didn't really hear a lot about them, but we had a defense you just couldn't beat. We had Ryan Pascal's in goal, and so was Mike McGinty, who's gone on to coach other places now. But we had these guys, Chris Fox, Peter Luzak, Kevin Knight, and Tony Williams on the back line, and you just couldn't go around them. They were amazing. Great defenders.
Wow.
Our forwards, we had Marco Ferruzzi, who's coaching in Dallas. He was our defensive midfielder, and he was the definition of a midfield general. I mean, he ran the entire field. Just an awesome player to watch. Oh. And there was 2002, we got to scrimmage the U.S. national team down in Raleigh. It was open to the public. The place was pretty much sold out. It was free. It was me, and Doug Wolford went down there to watch the game, and Marco Ferruzzi just absolutely schooled Kobe Jones on one play. He just made Kobe look like a rank amateur. It was amazing.
Wow.
And we ended up, the game was actually tied, but the tying goal the national team scored was about 3 yards offside. No exaggeration.
You had to find a way to make the U.S. at least look like they were playing well at that time, huh?
Yeah. Well, that was really funny because going into the World Cup, we were horrible. The national team was. And then everyone just said, look, you can't even beat a USL team. And then somehow they just pulled it together and went all the way to the quarterfinals that year. Wow. It really should have been in the semifinals.
That is very true. That team should have been. Going back and re-looking at that game, that team should have been in the semis.
Yeah. But But yeah, that was one of the highlights for me. Another one was a Charleston playoff game in 2002. Back then, we played two-legged quarterfinals and semifinals, and we were down 2-1 coming home. Charleston scored in the fourth minute, so it's 3-1 overall, and then the kickers got it together, and we scored three real fast. And Charleston was our double win.
Wow.
Friendly rival, but still very, very intense rivalry. And just to come back to beat them like that was amazing. That was so awesome.
So let me ask you this question then, because you kind of have this weird debate within Richmond Kickers fan base of like who is our real rival. You got some people saying that it's Ford.
Yeah.
More my generation say it's more Ford. And then it's the older generation, you, Richard Hayes, saying, no, it's still Charleston. It's still Rochester. Charlotte's kind of thrown in there, but not kind of, sort of. So let me ask,
yeah,
like,
who Charlotte's never really been organized enough.
Yeah. So who do you consider to be Richmond's, like, true rival? Like,
Charleston.
Charleston?
Without a doubt, it's Charleston. Yeah.
Okay.
It's gotten a little tame. The last few years when we were in the same league, it used to be cutthroat. It was great.
See, yeah, now I want to go back and rewatch one of those Charleston games now.
Yeah, if you can find it, the 2002 quarterfinal home game.
Okay.
So, totally worth it.
All right, so we'll make sure to go back and rewatch that one. So just a couple more questions. I don't want to have you, you know, take up too much of your time. You know, everyone's being quarantined and everything. But if you could have a Mount Rushmore of, I'll just say, like, famous Kickers players, who's on your Mount Rushmore and why?
So Kickers players. First and foremost, Ronnie Pascal.
Okay.
Honestly, it's a shame he never really got a chance at MLS, because I'd really be hard-pressed to find a better goalkeeper in the U.S. anywhere. I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
Ronnie was amazing. He was short, but he could jump like a flea. I mean, he was just all over the place. And he took a good penalty kick also. He got us to the finals one year with a penalty kick. Yep.
That, okay.
For Ford, wow. Matthew Delicott, I didn't really know the choice there. Midfield would be Marco Ferruzzi. I love the way he played midfield. He was absolutely amazing. Defender's kind of hard. I would probably say Yambi is my all-time favorite Kickers defender, with Henry Kalinji a close second.
Mm. So no Lee, no Rob Ucrop? No Sasha Gomez?
I would put maybe Rob would be close, simply because he's been with the Kickers, you know, from day one. Lee, almost the same way. Strictly playing-wise, I'd go with those guys.
Okay. No problem there. I appreciate that. Well, Mike.
No problem.
One last question I want to ask you. What was the one thing you were looking forward to this season? I mean, we kind of said on the show that we were looking forward to the first couple of games. We had Ford Madison, you know, New England, and possibly a U.S. Open Cup game against probably our other rival, Christos FC, as we wanted some revenge. But we wanted to ask you, like, what were some things you were looking forward to?
I was just, after what we went through the last few seasons, I honestly think we're going to have a breakout team this year, and I was just looking forward to everything. I'm kind of bummed. I completely they're suspended, of course, right now and everything, but I was really looking forward to this year. I really think we're going to be one of the top teams.
Wow. Okay. I like it. I was feeling the same way, man. It's kind of feel like the season got taken away from us prematurely, but
mm-hmm.
It's what happens. But, man, we just want to say thank you for coming on here, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
Oh, absolutely, no problem.
All right, man, you have a great rest of the day, okay? Joining us on the show today is a good friend of the show, is Mr. Chris Campbell. How you doing, man?
All right, man, how are you?
I can't complain, man. you know, just wishing today was actually a real soccer game being played. That would have been the fun part.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the stadium and just pretend there was a game happening, but I figured that would be more depressing than anything else.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I thought about it too, yo. Just pulling up to the stadium, just standing there. You know, just, yeah. It would have been super sad.
Yeah, it would have been more depressing than anything. I wanted to try to throw together, like, a parking lot dance party. But that just sounds hard. And any gathering of over 10 is illegal, and just didn't want to deal with all that.
I feel you. So,
yeah.
One of the first questions I wanted to ask you is, how did Scuffle Town Social Club come together? And talk to us about all of that and everything.
Okay, so it more or less came together kind of a variety of different ways. It's been an idea in the back of some people, 2 years. So I took a few friends who to a game last year. And they were like, you know what, man, we can do this too, start a new crew.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like a conglomeration of, you know, there's some old guard Red Army that's been around for a minute. There's some people that have been around in Richmond soccer for a minute, but I haven't really felt the connection with what's going on in the stadium right now. There's some people that have never been to a soccer game before in their life, but think this is a cool idea. So we kind of see it as Richmond used to be a place where, like, cool stuff happened just all the time, just weird, cool things. And people, it was like a fun place. And people that know me know I'm a young guy. I wasn't around for any of that. But talking to older friends who are like, man, we used to have like 1,000 person just random bike rides around the city. We used to do all this cool, fun stuff. And people were saying, you know, Richmond just becomes kind of a different place every day with, you know, quote unquote development and just different things, and, you know, people don't want to have fun anymore, and we're like, you know, soccer's fun, yelling at stuff is fun.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of creative people that our core group is friends with, some creative people in our core group that have no real outlet for that, and we're like, yo, TIFO is one of the most creative, cool things. It's like a constructive thing to put your art towards. So kind of taking a bunch of stuff we love, putting it into soccer.
Okay. So let me ask you this, like, how did you start following the Kickers and how did you like get into soccer actually?
Okay. So growing up, it was the only sport I was good at. I wasn't big enough to play football. I wasn't tall enough to play basketball. And I started playing soccer. Because, you know, I'm a small guy. And found myself, you know, not terrible at it. Got really into the fan culture around soccer.
Mm-hmm.
That's something totally unique, something that's different everywhere you go, something that's budding in the U.S., especially early buds back then. And then started following DC United that way. I was like, man, their fans just wave flags and bang drums and sing for the entire game. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then freshman year of high school, my soccer coach, I went to Richmond Christian, and our soccer coach also coached the Kickers youth team and had these extra, they used to give out these things called pro passes.
Mm-hmm.
For, so every
coach just got like 20 of them to give out to their team. And he had four left over. And it was like a season ticket, free season ticket to every kid that played Kicker's Rec. So he had four extra, and nobody else on our high school team wanted it, except like me and my four dumb friends. So like, we went to the first game of the season, and it was against Orlando City in their first ever game in USL.
Wow. Oh, snap.
Yeah, so they brought three fans, all wearing soccer capes. One guy, they're all like dressed up like, you know, Oakland Raiders fans or something. And they all had these costumes. They're like, these guys are dorks. We're like, so let's just sit behind them, and every time they try to start a song, we're just going to scream at the top of our lungs. So we did that for the whole game. We all bought like vuvuzelas and like scarves and things like that, and just every time they started a chant, we just scream. We're like, let's do this every game. And then we realized, oh, the other team doesn't bring fans every game. Well, this doesn't cost us anything, and it's a Saturday. We had nothing else to do on a Saturday, so we just started coming to Kickers games. It's when we started hanging out in Section O, back when it was just Mike Garbett, Dave Crum, all the everybody, Chris Harrison, Doug Wilford, all the guys with the drums, the old guard, if you will. And then it was just anywhere between 2 and 10 high school kids. Just me and my friends, they're over there every game. And then Red Army came around a few years later.
Okay, man, that, wow. I never knew it was that deep for you.
Yeah.
So, what is one of the things that you're looking forward to this year with, like, you were looking really forward to do this year with Scuffle Town?
So, we still have a TIFO planned for opening game. This gives us more time because we haven't quite finished it yet. But, just getting our friends who haven't been able to make it to a game before out, just kind of starting our own thing, starting our own, you know, traditions, tailgate traditions, things like that.
Okay.
We had this cool idea, at least for game one, to see how it went. We were going to tailgate in Scuffletown Park, which, if you're not familiar, it's a park in the middle of the city. It was just an alleyway that they just turned into like a little park. And it's like low key the park where you go to break all the park rules, like drinking and like, you know, hanging out late. Like people, it'll be midnight, people will be hanging out there. So it's like kind of been like a little hangout spot for me and my friends for a hot minute. Like we can, it's big, just big enough to do tailgates in and just small enough to feel like you can get away with things.
It has an intimate feel to it.
Yeah, it's very sick.
Alright, so one of the other questions I have for you, it's two more. I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you have like a really busy day going on today for you.
Interesting day.
Interesting, yeah, very interesting. So my other question is, who's on your Mount Rushmore of soccer players? It could be Kickers players, it could be just famous players, wherever.
Okay, so personal Mount Rushmore, it would be a lot. I would say, growing up, my favorite player was Ronaldinho, so him for sure. I'll say Kaká was my favorite as well in his like AC Milan days. Unfortunately, he had to go to Orlando. I'll say, give me Matt Delacroix on there.
Okay.
And give me, honestly, Andy Nahar for DC United. So, like, yeah, him being, like, a young kid when I was in, like, early high school, just, like, being, like, just, like, a young kid and, like, his whole story of, like, basically coming to America, grew up, like, dirt poor on the streets of Honduras, more or less. Came to America, and I was like, yo, this kid is, like, 2 years, 3 years older than me. Then left East United, was scoring goals in the Champions League. Unfortunately, he kind of dropped off, but, yeah, I would say I was trying to pick a DC player, so either him, Bill Hamid, or Jaime Moreno, let's say. He even threw in Perry Kitchen, too.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's a Mount Rushmore B team.
Not gonna lie, that's a pretty good Mount Rushmore you got there.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I wanted to ask you. You are one of the I think me and you both have a shared passion for like German football. Because even though I don't have a favorite team, I love like the German atmosphere and watching the games. I can watch any kind of Bundesliga game, whatever. I find it easier to watch than the Premier League. And you are a St. Pauli fan, so how is that for you? Like, how did you become a St. Pauli fan?
Alright, so recently for a couple of years, I kind of just shunned anything that was European. I've always kind of kept tabs on St. Pauli just with their, like, you know, anti-oppression politics, their, like, community involvement. Just them being like a punk club and me being interested in, you know, punk scenes and whatnot. So I think German football is really interesting. When I decided, you know, to stop thinking I'm better than all the quote-unquote Euro snobs and start watching, you know, European football again, started following West Ham, and then decided to get more into St. Pauli. So I think, basically what they've got some really interesting going on. They were, when in the 80s, Hamburg, you know, was the team. They always have been the team. Hamburg SV. You know, they had a big problem with, you know, Nazis showing up in the stadium. And then everybody that didn't like that were like, we're just going to go watch St. Pauli on the other side of town in, like, the, you know, grimy part of town. And then that started, you know, this, you know, decades-long tradition now of, you know, being probably the most visibly, actively anti-bad things, pro-good things team in the world. They've become kind of like a symbol, global symbol of just opposition to, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia, bad things. So I think there's something very unique in that aspect. You know, you can say what people can say what they will about them kind of taking it and using that as a selling point to, like, sell you products and whatnot. Which there's genuine critiques to that, but, you know, it comes with the territory. It's a business. They're always going to try to sell things. But, you know, with having the first Hamburg Derby in, what is it, 8 years last year? That was kind of one of the first events where all of Scuffletown was able to get together. We all got together to watch some weird, sketchy stream with a million pop-ups, and all decided that we wanted to keep doing that, get into Scuffletown. But it's hard to find games, you know. I don't want my computer to get a million viruses. I don't have a great computer. So, a couple years, or last year, it looked like they might have gotten promoted to the Bundesliga, and then they just kind of fell apart. Because if they got promoted, you know, watch their games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now it looks like they're getting relegated. I don't know where I'll find a stream next year, but I think COVID might have saved them from getting relegated.
That's probably the best thing about COVID. A lot of these teams that are close to getting relegated are kind of like, oh, we get an extra year.
Yeah. And, like, yo, West Ham was in a relegation battle. Kind of started with a few friends, like a Richmond Hammers kind of group.
Mm.
And, you know, kind of getting together, and we're like, man, we're trash. We're getting relegated. And now it looks like COVID might have saved us.
Wow. Well, so, let's at least hope when soccer starts off that kickers at least stay out of the relegation battle, unlike we were last year.
Yeah, it's I know you have extensive thoughts on pro rel, but I've always been fairly pro rel myself. I just know it's never gonna work with all the leagues being separate entities and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because, you know, back when I started coming to games, the kickers were good. They'd finish, like, second or third in the league, you know, promotion territory, and then just kind of fall apart in the playoffs. But, you know, and I was always like, man, if we're pro rel, we'd be in MLS by now. But now I'm kind of, you know, glad we kind of financially relegated ourselves, and then... I don't know. I think the kickers will be good this year once we get the season going. So I think we can contend. So I'm going to keep my hopes up for this year.
I feel you, man. Well, I just want to say thank you for coming on, man, and best of luck with everything that's going on. Joining us on the show today is one of the younger Kickers fans, but probably the most skillful one, is Mr. Dustin Church. Did I get your name right?
Yeah, all right. Said it perfect.
I'm glad to hear that, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good.
That's good. I know you're probably, are you more excited that school is out or that, you know, you get to stay at home and probably play video games and play soccer? Okay, I take that.
I do like staying at home, though.
You like staying at home? All right, that's a good thing.
But I do miss soccer a lot.
I can tell, man.
But
I
miss our team.
I miss our team, too. I miss our team a lot. So, let me ask you this. How did you start playing soccer, and how did you start following the Kickers?
Okay, I started playing soccer when I was 2 at the lot. Basically, all I did was run around the field. I'm not even kidding you.
Okay.
And I just kind of fell in love with it. Then, when I became a Kickers fan was, I just heard about the local team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's kind of cool. And I started supporting them, and then I found y'all.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, every time I see you that you wear a lot of Kickers gear. Are you normally the one in school wearing a whole bunch of Kickers gear? Were your friends wearing, like, Barcelona and Man United jerseys?
I wear basically only soccer stuff. Sometimes I do rep Kickers at my school, and people say, why don't you rep your own club? I'm repping a pro team.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like the passion. That's one thing I do love about you, Dustin. You are very passionate.
Thank you.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite soccer memory of all time? It could be, like, any favorite player or any favorite Kickers moment that you might remember. Do you have a favorite one?
Can you re-say that question? I couldn't quite understand you.
Okay. Do you have a favorite Kickers memory or soccer memory at all?
I do have a favorite Kickers memory.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so it was actually in preseason this year. A kicker made the first save, a diving save towards the front post. And I just give a kicker trash about this. He makes a diving save to the front post, and he doesn't get up that recovery. And I'll just mess with him about that because he always works on me with recovery.
Oh, wow. So, wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. You are trash talking our number one goalkeeper?
Yes, I do this.
Oh my god. Is it any other players on the team that you trash talk or is it just Akira?
It's just Akira because me and Akira train together
Okay. So what positions are you practicing on right now?
I practice goalkeeper.
So you're trying to be a goalkeeper. Okay. Oh, wow. So can you see yourself playing for the Kickers first team when you get older?
Probably. I could get signed when I'm 16.
Okay. Is that one of your goals? Like, one of your goals is to play for the Kickers when you grow up?
It's one of my goals. Probably when I'm 16, high school, basically, that's when I would want to play.
Okay. So, one of the other things I wanted to ask you real quick, and I won't take too much more of your time. What was one thing, or what are a few things that you were looking forward to this year from the Kickers, like, during the season?
What I was hoping to see?
Mm-hmm.
No short corners.
No. No short corners at all.
I hate short corners. My team even does it. They don't end up with the crossing. They can't do short corners.
Oh. Oh, wow.
That's one of my needs. They cannot do short corners.
Okay.
Unless they're going to be really good at them and score off of them, they're not doing short corners.
So that was the number one thing. No short corners, huh?
No short corners.
Okay. I definitely understand. I think John Osborne would definitely be in agreement with you on that one.
Thank you. We could not get it set up last year.
Okay. And my last question, man. Who is your top four favorite soccer players? And why?
In the world?
In the world. You can throw a Kickers player in there if you want to. But who are your top four?
Okay, I can. One, Gigi Buffon.
Okay.
Two, probably De Gea.
Okay.
Three, Akira.
Okay.
And four, Dybala.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good top four you got there, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, Dustin. You keep it up, man. Keep doing what you're doing. And trust me, me and Shiner are rooting for you all the way, man.
Thank you.
No problem, man. Oh, one last thing I want to ask you. Last year, you did something special for your birthday. Can you tell us about that?
Can you please ask this question again? I couldn't quite hear you.
For your birthday, you did something very special. What did you do?
Yeah, I donated like $256 to this RBA Access, which is basically like kids that are like special needs and things like that. You get to help them learn how to play soccer.
And just out of curiosity, for some of our listeners, what made you want to do that for your own birthday? Because, you know, most kids are like, oh, I want my gifts. What made you want to donate your birthday to them?
It's just important to me because people that want to play soccer, some people don't get to do that. And some people don't have that opportunity. And a lot of special needs kids maybe get to play like once a year, where this actually helps them get to play more often and get to learn how to play and get to learn how to train and possibly even play on a real field one day.
Well, man, Dustin, you have a heart of gold. You know that, little man?
Thank you.
No problem, man. Well, I'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for coming on. Joining us on the phone today is a very good friend of the River City Red Army, possibly the craziest guy in the Red Army, Mr. John Mars. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantabulous. Good morning, children.
I want to tell everyone first, if you have not met John Mars, you have not met, one, you have not met the River City Red Army, and two, you have not been to Richmond properly, because John greets everyone in his own unique way. So
I guess that's one way of saying it. I like to hug. I like to cuddle. I like to spoon. And oddly enough, for someone who's 6'3", 6'3" and close to 300 pounds. I like to be the little spoon.
So I'm guessing this whole social distancing thing isn't really working for you too well, huh?
I'm doing great because, honestly, my life hasn't changed that much. I work in healthcare, so I'm still working. I'm actually working more. But, yes, outside of work, I really miss creeping up behind people and hugging them from behind. Strangers, clergy member, it makes no difference to me. So, yeah, that's been a difficult transition.
Well, you know, today was supposed to be the start of the Henry Derby and everything like that. So I just want to ask you, like, how did you get into soccer and how did you start following and loving the Kickers?
Well, I pretty much played soccer my whole life. I had a little bit of a drought for 6 years when I lived in Rome, New York, and there really wasn't any way to play soccer. But then we moved to Binghamton, New York, and I ended up playing on the high school team for the last 2 years of high school. But I pretty much played most of my life, I would say. So I love the game. I love the game of soccer as much as, you know, Stroker Ace loves the deals of auto racing and working in NASCAR. So I would say I was probably the Stroker Ace of soccer fans. Wow.
So, okay, what position did you play in high school?
Most in high school, I was a goalkeeper.
Oh.
So, you know, being long and tall and weighing about 200 pounds less, I was actually fairly nimble back in those days. So, yeah, it was the perfect position for me, just like it was the perfect position for Jim Neighbors to play Lugs Harvey on Stroker Race and be the crew manager for Stroker Race's NASCAR team.
I'm not going to lie, I love your analogy so much. It fits so perfectly. Okay, let me ask you this. How did you become a Kickers fan? Because you're from Binghamton, New York, which, for everyone who doesn't know, is all the way up there in New York. How did you get from Binghamton to Richmond and then obviously start liking the Kickers?
Well, we moved down here in 2008, and in short order, I realized that we actually had a local soccer team, which was amazing to me. There was nothing like that where we lived in New York, so pretty much immediately embraced the team. I think starting in 2009, started coming to the games just basically as, you know, dad with the kids and wife and, you know, that kind of thing. And started thinking that, you know, I might want to get into this a little bit more. It's just been so nice to have a local team. So, and then realizing the Kickers are actually pulling in some really, really good talent. So the games are very, very competitive. They were fun to watch. I mean, just like, you know, it was as fun to watch as watching Stroker Ace win the NASCAR championship at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, upside down in his car when he crossed the finish line. So it was that exciting for me.
Okay. So do you have, like, a favorite... tell us about some of, like, your favorite Kickers memories and things like that.
Favorite Kickers memories?
Yeah.
There's tons of them, but I honestly think a lot of them are, you know, off the field in a way, like meeting the guys outside of the game, you know, talking to Lee Kalishaw after a Citizen Burger when he's obviously uncomfortable talking to crazy bastards like me, you know, hanging out with other players outside of here, you know, Matt Delacott, you know, sneaking up behind me at a Kroger and giving me a hard time, things like that. Like, I like those a lot. I mean, the games are always fun. The tailgates are always fun. So, yeah, I mean, that's great. You know, you got to look for the fun outside of the games as well with these players. It's just such a great experience. It's like, you know, when Stroker Ace and Lugs Harvey were pushing each other on dining carts in that hotel and they were racing Aubrey James, and then they switched it up and Stroker Ace actually pushed Aubrey James's cart into the pool. That was good fun.
So I have to ask, did you just finish watching Stoker Hearts again?
It's called Stroker Ace.
Stroker Ace?
1983 film that was produced by Hal Needham, who is a legend in the filmmaking business. And I watch it once a day since I was a fetus.
Oh, my God. This is possibly the funniest interview I've ever done. And I thank you for that, John. I needed that laugh this morning. So I wanted to also ask you, you were part of... I'm trying to remember the group. The American Outlaws here in Richmond. How was that for
Correct.
you?
Correct.
How was that for you? Because I remember you came in there one time with, like, the winged helmet and everything, and I was just looking like, yo, who is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the same thing with the, you know, with the American Outlaws, the River City Red Army, the District Vultures. It was just a culture down here that I got down here, and I realized that it was pretty ingrained in the soccer community. It was just something that I wanted to embrace, and I pretty much grabbed hold of all I could and hung on to it in the beginning, you know. Yeah, going to every U.S. women's, men's national team game I could go to, as many D.C. United games, as many Kickers games as I could. You know, it's like pretty much like brand loyal, like NASCAR fans are when they go to see their favorite driver, stroke race, go around the ovals. And, or if they were an Aubrey James fan, but that guy was kind of a jerk, so I could never get into him. But, you know, stroke race was the guy for me.
Okay. So, this is one question I've been asking everyone that's been in the pod so far. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of soccer?
Kickers or soccer in general?
You can combine them both if you want to.
Well, my Mount Rushmore would probably be, and that's going to be, we're going to call that four names. So I guess I'm going to go with Sir Stanley Matthews from Stoke City, one of the longest careers in the history of football, and a legend. I'll go number two, Peter Crouch. If you don't know who that is, educate thyself. He's an absolute legend for many teams in the Premier League and one of the funniest people you'll ever hear. Let me go kickers now. Number one for me has got to be Matthew Delicott. I mean, he just what a fantastic person, what a great player. I think he's the greatest Richmond Kickers player ever. And then I would probably have to go number four. I'm going to go William Yambi. I can't get enough of that guy on and off the field. I just think he's one of those perfect human beings. Great, great guy off the field. Not a lot of people know this, but when he was playing with the Kickers, he would see to it that he got his tickets for the game to me so that I could distribute them to people that were thinking about coming to Kickers game. And I tried to do the best I could with spreading those tickets to fans that had never seen a soccer game in Richmond. So just a great guy on and off the field. Just, you know, that his backline strength was probably the best and probably a better guy off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just the glue for the team, kind of like Lonnie Anderson, who played Pembroke Feeney in stroke race, kind of kept the whole team together. You know, she kept Ned Beatty, Clyde Torkel from, Clyde Torkel's Chicken Pit. He was always trying to get shenanigans on Stroker, but, you know, Pembroke Feeney, she was in there and just keeping everyone together, and I just really appreciate the way that she did that.
Oh, I was trying to figure out how you were going to fit that in there. I was waiting for it. And you talk about, like, Stoke City a lot. Like, how did you start becoming a Stoke City fan? That's one thing I've always wanted to ask you. So now I got the time to ask you.
Well, you know, most football fans will think of Stoke City as dirty. And to be quite honest with you, in the beginning, I kind of liked that aspect of them. I just thought they were a team that was, I didn't necessarily think dirty, but I just kind of thought that they played soccer at a really hard nose. And I kind of liked that being an old hockey player and kind of seeing the way that they played the game, and I kind of like that toughness in the back four. Robert Hoos was one of my favorite defenders of all time. And so anyway, that's just kind of how I started my entrance into the Premier League, and they've stuck. I'm pretty brand loyal. Like if I like somebody, team, whoever, even from a young age, I stick with them. So I'm just brand loyal on them. Just like Stroker Ace was brand loyal to NASCAR, and you know, going out there for his sponsors, and like, you know, Clyde Torkel wanted him to wear a chicken suit with the feet and everything driving the car, and he did it. So, you know, I think of the same thing. Like, you got to be brand loyal. You got to follow these teams that make an imprint on you earlier in your age.
Okay. Brand loyal is the thing that is most important. Brand loyalty.
Yes, sir.
This is the last question I have for you. What was the one thing you were looking most forward to this season when it comes to the upcoming kicker season? What was the one thing you were looking forward to?
most looking forward to? Honestly, I think this is the time of year where, like, all the people that you meet at the game, the fans, players, everyone, just everyone involved with the game itself, you know, you've had a little bit of a break from one another, and then, like, that first game is always great. You get to see everybody, everyone catches up, you get to see how the team has come together during the off season. And I think we were all pretty excited to see this team on the field. You know, you and I, you know, we went to some preseason games. We saw how things were going together. I think we could see how the team was going to be under Sawatsky. You know, we could see that very easy in the preseason that this could be at least an exciting team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything involved, you know, every year I'm pretty excited to see everybody that I've missed in the offseason, but I think the added aspect of almost a completely new team, new coach, new everybody, there was a little bit of excitement there, just kind of seeing how everything was going to come together. You know, just like a well-oiled NASCAR pit crew. I mean, you know, we have to be in it together. You know, no one's unimportant, fans, players. You know, in the pit crew, there's no one. You know, if you're going to do the right rear tire, you better be the best right rear tire guy there is. Otherwise, loves Harvey. You know, he's just going to get on you for not doing a great job. So, yeah, I think that's what I was the most excited for.
Oh, my God. John, I love you. I thank you for coming on the show today, man. You have been the laugh that keeps on giving, man.
Well, I'm honored that you asked me. I'm not usually asked to do things because behavior. So, thank you for this. This was a nice little break from everything. I hope you guys have a great day, and I hope all your other interviews today just suck.
All right, man. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later. Joining us on the show today is probably one of the older members of River City Red Army. Older in terms of how long he's been around the Kickers organization, but it's RP. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm good. I can't complain. So you moved around a lot. First of all, like, what part of the country are you in now? And what do you do, exactly?
Yeah, right now I'm living out in the Bay Area in California. I actually work for the athletic department here at Stanford University.
Okay.
A big part of that, you know, I did my internship with the Kickers and really got the chance to reboot the Red Army. And that's helped me in my career getting to where I want to be now.
Word. So, okay, so now I'm about to ask, how did this whole Red Army get started up thing? What was your part in everything? Like, I want to know everything, like, every in and out detail.
Okay, so I want to start off by saying that, you know, I had tipped the Red Army. They were around longer than I was around or had any help with. Them in the corner kit way back in the day. Some of the old heads around the organization remember the corner kicks. They were kind of the original people over in that section. So, 2013, I am a sports management student at Ohio University, and I'm looking for somewhere to do a summer internship. And I remember the Richmond Kickers. My family had some folks that worked in the area, so, you know, we'd go down to Kickers games, enjoy the soccer. So, summer 2013, I showed up. You know, doing the typical internship stuff, rolling t-shirts, you know, 12-hour days on game days, getting City Stadium set up. Got some great stories about dealing with, like, some of the massive bees that used to live over there.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to save that after this story. You're going to tell that after this.
Oh, yeah. MLS All-Star Game, summer of 2013. I believe it's Kansas City. Either Kansas City or Portland, they kind of have a summit of team leaders. And at that time, you know, Coach Kalishaw and Shelly Sowers, they went out there. And they saw the fantastic atmosphere that Kansas City had at the time. And they came back and asked us interns, there were a couple of us at the time, you know, we kind of want to reboot it and build a big supporter section here at City Stadium. Is anybody interested wanting to do that? And I said, yeah. I'm originally from Stanton area, a little south of there. And growing up, I always went to DC United games when I could, hanging out with the district ultras, Barbara, outside the stands. So I said, yeah, you know, I got some free time. I'm here for the summer. Let's try and put something together, see what we can do here in Richmond. So came up with an idea. I remember I think I put like 3 or 4 notes down on paper of what, you know, I think the organization should do. I essentially argued that we should kind of give whoever wants to show up and care about this free reign and be open for any ideas they have. So I touched base with some folks who were DC United fans down in Richmond. Set up a first-time meeting over at Gus's there on Broad.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Spiros. hanging out there, you know, we probably had 25, 30 people show up the first time, first meeting we had. And I laid it out and I said, you know, guys, I'm not going to be like in the stands jumping around with you, but I talked to the organization. We're willing to give you guys a kind of free start to kind of get this going. We decided in front office that the Red Army should get free admission for the rest of that season to try and encourage folks to show up.
Oh, wow.
4 games. Yeah. Yeah, and there were 3 or 4 games left in the season. We said we need a big home push. If you remember, 2013 was a super successful year for the Kickers. Had an amazingly long unbeaten streak going on.
Wow.
And, yeah, we said we need this push going into the playoffs. So I essentially said, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, anyone who likes soccer, you know, you 20, 25 people, you're going to be the most important getting this thing rolling. Man, credit to them. The rest of that season, the diehards, the folks that are still the nucleus of that today, they showed up and they started making some noise. And, you know, it was a really strong end to that season, and I knew that next summer I wanted to come back and kind of help from the front office perspective for another year. So came back the next summer and kept helping out, trying to get it as big as possible.
Mm. Okay, so you're kind of like the unspoken godfather of the River City Red Army. So there should be a shrine for you in that River City Red Army members telling you to shut up.
I get that. I hear that. I don't like thinking of it that way. I just got Shelly and Lee to agree to some things. I think they would have agreed to it anyways, but it was really the folks that initially showed up. You know, some of the folks still hanging around today. Put in the effort to get it to be where it is.
Okay. So, let me ask you this. You're kind of out there on the West Coast in the, I want to say, mecca of soccer, because there's so many soccer clubs between MLS, USL, and lower league. Do you still keep up with the Kickers, or do you, like, mention to people over there that, like, heard that you work for the Kickers? Like, nah, I'm still, like, a fan and everything like that, or is it kind of just on the low?
You know, I talk about it, so the Oakland Roots are a new team, started out on the other side of the bay, and picked up season tickets for them their first year.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just talking with folks involved in that, there's kind of a common minor league feel around those teams, you know, a lot of things that carry over from team to team, the struggles and fun challenges of doing the minor league stuff. But yeah, I still keep up with Kickers, still stay in touch with Red Army folks. You know, it's been interesting seeing changes in the team and front office over the last few years. You know, I think, it's cool to see a lot of the steps being taken. I look from the outside in at someone else in the industry and think they're doing really good stuff, and they have been for a few years.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. It's good to hear that things are going in the right direction. So let me ask you, how did you get into soccer, like, and everything?
Yeah, so I, again, grew up kind of in between Stanton and Lexington, down in Virginia, so middle of nowhere. was not the strong soccer culture out there, yeah, for sure.
That's very true.
My dad played a little bit in soccer at the D2 level, always liked soccer, but he didn't really force it on me. You know, I was country strong playing football growing up. And I went to a D.C. United game with my dad one summer, and it was a fantastic game. It was rain delayed. Jaime Moreno scores a late one. And just fell in love with the sport. I came back and said, yeah, you know, I want to start playing soccer. Really dove in at first to the culture and found that I loved it a ton.
Wow. Okay. So, do you ever plan on getting back into soccer? I know right now you're at the athletics department at Stanford. Do you ever see a career for yourself in soccer, like being a GM or owner or anything like that?
You know, I don't try to speculate too much on where the path might lead me. I can tell you, we have some very successful women's and men's soccer programs here. So being in this athletic department, you know, I still get the taste of that and still love going out to those games.
Okay. So how is the atmosphere at an Oakland Roots game?
For minor league soccer teams, I think there's teams that fall into two camps. You know, there's those that really listen to their community and try to be a part, and there are those that just set up. They say, we're going to play soccer, and if people are going to come, they're going to come. I think the Oakland Roots have done a fantastic job at tapping into the local culture. I'm seeing them deals with local artists, local brewers, local food companies, really trying to go as hyper-local as they can, and I think that's paying off. You know, their attendances were really high for their first season.
Wow.
And, you know, they were gearing up for their first full-length spring to fall season this year before everything that happened, but they're really doing it right. I think the vibe I felt over with them was similar to the Kickers starting in 2013-14. You know, they started having beer, they started trying to focus on being as hyper-local as possible, really reaching out in the communities, essentially culminating around that 2014 World Cup. Some of you remember that outdoor viewing party?
Yeah, I do.
The Kickers threw for the U.S. and the Portugal game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of stuff of getting out there in the community, and, man, it's super fun at Roots games, that's for sure.
Okay. Wow. So, back to the Kickers. I know there's some crazy stories you have of working with them. Do you mind sharing some of them, if you can?
Some of the better stories?
Yeah.
Oh man. So the side of the stadium with the seats no one puts in.
the side.
Yeah. So one time before a game, you know, we're setting up and these massive, like hornet-looking things are flying around us. I mean, like the length of your thumb. And we're all freaking out, you know, we're trying to keep a distance, we're running in and out of the locker room to grab stuff so as not to piss them off. And these things plagued the stadium for a couple of weeks, kept trying to get rid of them, they kept staying over there. They were, like, directly above the home locker room, too. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you know what, they ended up just being, and I encourage anyone to Google this, a cicada hawk. They're like cicada predators, and man, these things are massive. If you've never seen one before, you would be mistaken for thinking that it's a massive, scary bee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard of a cicada hawk before, but you learn something new every day.
Yeah. You know, there's all those fun stories. I think Open Cup games are always the most fun. Because you never know who you're going to play, you know.
Yeah.
You'll see these amateur teams from, say, New Jersey rolling up in 10 to 12 different white panel vans full of players and family. there was one game, I believe we played New York Greek Americans.
Yeah.
Thunderstorm. Got delayed. We were actually losing at the time, if memory serves. Game got delayed something like 3-4 hours because of lightning. Ended up finishing at around 1 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
There were some Red Army members, not a lot of them, but some Red Army members still in the stands. They had all the staff members and ball kids. I remember I was behind, I think that was the Joe Willis here in goal, shagging balls after shots. But kickers came. And, man, crazy game that was, too.
Well, RP, I just thank you for coming on the show, man. You've been a great listener. We've been wanting to get the history of the Richmond Kickers, or, well, the River City Red Army, for a while. So we thank you for coming on for that, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to keep up with the team. And, you know, it's not long until we're going to be back in South Philly. I feel it.
That's our hope, man. Whenever the season kicks off, we're hoping to get back there. But thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, you too. We just want to give a big thank you to all the supporters that came onto our podcast today, and also to our sponsors. Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And also, Icarus FC, if you're looking for new jersey designs or some cool kits to wear while playing pickup soccer after coronavirus is all said and done with. So, once again, this is River City 93. You can find us at Instagram and Twitter at River City 93. Like, share, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It helps us out. And also, as always, keep us in the good side, guys.